Shalom to all. Today's office is Yerushalmi Chal Daf Chaf Hey, and we are starting Chaf Dal Amud Beis on the bottom at the beginning of the brand new parak. And the Vilna Source Daf is on Yud Dal Amud Beis. And today's Daf is sponsored by Lunishmas Marsh Merim Sar Batsam Yaakov Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. And the Mishnah says Oichlan Arim and Isa Ache Tegalgal Bechitin Utetamtim Besairim. One is allowed to eat from a dough, Arai, in a snacking fashion. It's not like he's sitting down for a meal. He's just snacking on pieces of dough. He's allowed to do so without having to take off challah. That's up until he's Megalgal the dough if it's made out of wheat, and up until he's Metamtim the dough if it's made out of barley. And it's very similar to truma. Just like by truma, once grain, for example, has reached a shlish, if truma is separated, it's valid. However, it's not chayiv yet, and one may eat from it arai until meruach, so too with challah. The moment the water is poured in, if challah is separated, it's valid. However, one is still allowed to eat from it arai until a later stage. What's that stage? The general word used is called gibel, which means kneading. And by wheat, the main thing that we're looking for is gilgal, which is a proper kneading of the dough. Only then it's considered like it's reached gemar malacha, if you will. And now it's 100% chayv and challah, and one's not allowed to eat from it even arai. Whereas by barley, it's called timtum, which basically means pressing it. Since barley dough is very crumbly, you can't really knead it. You have to do this pressing sort of thing to it. You have to just press it with your hand and make it into dough like that. And that's the stage by barley that's mechayv and challah. The mission continues. Gilgal abechitin umtamtum is iron. Once he does do this by wheat or barley, ha'ichlum mana chayv misa. Somebody who eats from this dough, if he hadn't separated challah, is chayv misa b'day shamayim, just like truma. And lastly, kimishina sentence is once she pours the water onto the flour, magbas chalasa, she could technically take off challah. Again, it's not chayv in challah, but if she does separate challah, it's valid. As long as there's 5/4 of a kava of flour mixed into the water, so we have a shear and challah is allowed to be separated, even though, again, the dough is not fully kneaded. The water is really just poured in and mixed around a little bit. Nonetheless, challah could be separated. Now, according to some gersayos, it's actually the exact opposite. Ubovad shaloi tehi sham chamishas raim kamach. As long as there isn't 5/4 of a kava of flour, which is not mixed into the water, because that is a sheer challah by itself, and since it's not mixed with the water, it cannot be considered part of the hafrashas challah right now, and therefore when one is separating challah like this, they would have to make sure that there isn't 5/4 of a kava of flour, which is not yet mixed into the water. And this is actually the gersa that we're going to be focusing on in the Gemara in two daf from now. And the Gemara tells us, Eichlan Arim and Isa v'chulu. So Amar Chagai, Chagai says, Loi shanu el arai. The only thing Mishnah is teaching us is that we're allowed to eat from it arai. Aval, but, meaning we should infer from the Mishnah is that kabin, that's the proper girsa, asur. One is not allowed to cut the dough into smaller doughs the size of a kav. Why? Because that means he's making a trick. It's like a deceit of sort, and now it's pata from chala. Here he has a dough that in a moment, when he finishes kneading it, it's going to be 100% chayiv in chala, but since it's not yet chayiv, he's allowed to eat from it arai. Rav Chagai is saying that the inference from the Mishnah is that he's not allowed to break it up into smaller doughs the size of a kav, because that means that they're not going to be chayiv in chala, and he's being mafkia it from its chiv of chala. However, Omar Yisrael Reisi says, Imin Ada, Les Shema Min HaKlom, from our Mishnah, we do not hear that. We do not make an inference from our Mishnah that you're not allowed to break it up into smaller doughs. Why is that? Shafilu Noitel Imenu Shtayim Shalosh Mikritzais, because even if you're going to take two or three very large pieces from it, that's not a problem. Mikimin Shu Asa Lach Zero El Davar Shu Nigmar Malachnoi Mutter. Since he's going to end up returning it back to something which is not Yagmar Malacha, it's permitted. In other words, Rabbi Yisrael is saying, don't learn from the Mishnah that Kabin is Asar because Mafkia from Chala. That's simply not true, because there's a possibility of eating large pieces, and it's still considered arai, and we don't say, oh, it's too large of a piece and you're bringing mafkiyah from challah. And let's just read a few more lines and then we'll explain this. Where did we get this from? Even the wine that's in the jug is not nitbal, it hasn't become tevel, it's not chayv and shuman meiser, because he's going to end up putting it back into something that hasn't yet reached gemar malacha. As we said, we already mentioned this case a few times before, grapes were pressed, the juice is in the lower part of the wine press, and it's not yet at gemar malacha because the top wasn't skimmed, so one is allowed to drink from it arai. And this fellow came along, took a picture or a cup, and filled it up with some wine, even though it might seem like it's in its final stage, and it should be chayiv, it's not, because whatever he doesn't finish, whatever he doesn't drink out of this cup, is going to be returned right back into the holding tank, which is pata from meiser, and therefore whatever is in this cup is pata from meiser as well. And it's the same thing with challah, Rabbi Yossi is telling us. The chiddush of the Mishnah is not that he can't break it into kabin, rather, it's that he could break off as much as he wants, as long as the intention is to return the uneaten part to the main dough, and all this is still considered arai. Rabbi Yossi continues, Vada Amra, it's from the following that tells us that you're not allowed to break a dough up into kabin. Once you have a dough that when finished being kneaded, it will be the size that it's chayv and challah, it's from the following that we learn that you're not allowed to break it up into smaller doughs because you're being mafkia from its chiyuv. And we had this earlier, Mishen Yochal Asas Yisasa B'Tahara. If a person is not able to knead their dough in a state of tahara, they're tameh, and they can't find anybody else that's tahar. We had said, in this case, a person should just make small doughs the size of a kav, and that way they're not chayv and challah. What do we learn from here? here, chaf hay amud beis on top, b'nei she'eino yachol. The only reason why he's allowed to do this, meaning make small doughs the size of a kav, is because he's not able to make it in a state of tahara. Ha'im ha'yachol, however, if he is able to make a tahar, lo'y b'da, so then he's not allowed to break it up into small doughs. Hada amr, this clearly tells us, sha'asal adam asis yasa kabin, that a person is not allowed to make their dough into kabin. And going back to talk about at what stage the dough is chayav 100% in challah, and one is not allowed to eat from it aharai, ushar kol dvarim, all other things, meaning oats, rye, and spelt, at mahalach bahen achar timtum, we follow timtum. Meaning the only thing that requires gilgal, proper kneading, to be mechayav in challah is wheat, but all other things, namely barley, oats, rye, and spelt, is timtum. So here we have a question that doesn't have an answer. Also, isam anachitin umina oirez, let's say you made a dough which was a combination of wheat and rice, achar miat mahalach, after which one do we go? Achar gilgal or achar timtum? Do we follow gilgal because this has wheat, or do we go after timtum because it has barley? And as we said, this doesn't have an answer. And we continue, Tanya Rabbi Shai teaches the following in Braisa, chala kmin gablul. The word chala is like the word gablul, which means a lump. It could be a lump of clay, something else, or over here, the word chala is referring to dough, obviously. And Rabbi Shai is explaining that that's when the chiv of chala kicks in. Once it's considered a chala, a gablul, a lump. And when is that? So that's what the Mishnah told us. Mishnah tekagal b'chitin v'tetamtim b'sa'irim, when he does proper gilgal, proper kneading by wheat, and this timtum, this pressing of the hand by barley. And that's considered gablul. However, Blazer says b'shem Rabbi Shaya, he has a different memra, mishetase gablulin gablulin. It's chayv and chala only once it's made into gablulin, which is the individual loaves that are going to be put into the oven. That's when it's chayv and chala. So Gemara asks, Ma'u Palig, what is he arguing with the Mishnah? The Mishnah says very clearly, mishetagalga b'chidin v'tamtim b'sa'irim. So how is he saying gablulin gablulin? And the answer is kala halacha kala dvar taira. Over here we're talking about practical halacha, whereas over there we're talking about midai raisa. Namely, our Mishnah is telling us practical halacha, midra banon, one is to take of chala once the dough is properly kneaded. But midai raisa, it's really only chayv and chala once it's in the gablulin stage, meaning it's in these individual loaves ready to be put into the oven. And Tanya of Abraisa, Rebutim Seiraimer, he also tells us this is very similar. Mishetasa mikritzais, once it's made into mikritzais, basically once it's broken up into smaller doughs ready to be put into the oven, that's when it's chayv and chala. And Matam is Rebutim Beseira, where does he get this from? What's the source? The answer is the pasuk tells us in regards to chala, Ketrumas Gairin came to Rimu Isa, just like the truma of your threshing floor, so too you shall separate it, referring to chala. Ma Trumas Gairin, he tells him in Agamar, just like regular truma that's given to the Kayin is taken from something which is completed, it's finished, avzu, so too chala, and he tells him in Agamar, is taken from something that's completed, and it's only considered completed once the dough is made into the loaves, ready to be put into the oven. Ask the Gemara, Me'ata l'chshete'afe. Based off what we're saying now, it should be only once the loaves bake, because that's considered gamur, it's completed, it's finished, they're fully baked, and only then it should have a chiv of chala. Once we're comparing it to truma, why is it saying that the chiv of chala is when it's still in its dough form, about to be put into the oven, why not after it comes out of the oven? So Amar of Matanya, he answers, Loi hok shel trumas hagarin el melechas ha'iris balvad. The only thing is being compared to truma regarding is how far along in the dough stage it's chayiv. We already have the pasuk that tells us, Reishis harisei seichem, from the first of your dough. So clearly, the chiv of chala is while it's still dough. The only question is, at what stage in the dough process? And it's with this that Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseir is telling us that we compare it to truma, that it's at the furthest stage along where it's considered gemar melacha. But again, it still has to be considered dough. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to explain the Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.